If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The liberal globalist order is on its brink and awakening a new conservative age. I'm Dr. Steve Turley. Join me every day as we discover answers to today's toughest challenges and explore the revitalization of conservative civilization. This is Turley Talks. Democrat Party in its death throes. The Republican redistricting earthquake has shattered the political landscape right before our very eyes, and the Democrat Party is literally falling into the abyss. Some of the most odious, repulsive Democrat representatives, including the chair of the infamous J6 committee, are being permanently wiped out as we speak. It's now being widely admitted that the Democrats are being absolutely decimated in the nationwide redistricting battle. And it's a decimation that will relegate the Democrats to a permanent minority for the foreseeable future. It's really happening, gang. We got a wave of redistricting sweeping every single red state in this country, from Texas to Florida, from Louisiana, Alabama, from Missouri to Tennessee. And it is systematically, methodically, and permanently wiping Democrats off the congressional map, just in time for what promises to be an absolutely historic, epic 2026 midterms. You are not going to want to miss this. Greetings, everyone. It is finally Livestream Friday. I am your host, Dr. Steve, your patron professor, enjoying yet another magnificent, glorious day in the Trumpian golden age that you made possible back in November of 2024. So if you want a front row seat on how you continue to change the nation and the world in ways you never even imagined, make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. As always, we've got a jam-packed show for you today. Our super chats are up, so feel free to send in your comments and your questions. It'll be my privilege, my honor, to read and answer them during this live stream. Also, before we dive in here, let me ask you a serious question. If you could earn consistent double-digit returns guaranteed by law, did you hear what I said? Guaranteed by law. Would you still risk your money in volatile markets? Because most investments today come with a catch. I recently came across a method that works completely differently from a friend of mine, Jay. It's backed by government authority. The returns are set by state law, and you can literally test the waters with as little as just $50. No market timing, no complicated strategies, no dealing with tenants, no rehabs, and it doesn't take over your life either, just a couple of spare hours a week. Now, here's the part that really caught my attention. This is the kind of predictable, law-based return strategy that banks and hedge funds have quietly relied on for years. But it's a strategy that's been hidden and kept secret from most everyday Americans. But that's starting to change. So I asked Jay how long it would take him to teach me. And he told me he could break the entire thing down and actually walk through it live in less than an hour. That's when I asked him to do the same thing for you, my audience. And he agreed. Jay is hosting a free live masterclass this next Tuesday, May 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And he'll just show you exactly how the strategy works, why the returns are guaranteed by law, and how everyday Americans can get started with very little time, very little money. But it's live only, no replays. So go to turleyclass.com to register. That's turleyclass.com. Or just text Turley to 72000. That's 72000. Or scan the QR code on your screen, tap send, and you're in. Again, Tuesday, May 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern. If you want predictable returns without the risk, volatility, and complexity of traditional investing, I'll see you in the masterclass. Register now at turleyclass.com. Text Turley to 72000 or scan the QR code to save your spot. All right, gang, let's dive right in here. What can I say? The scenes of chaos that you just witnessed were from the floor of the Tennessee legislature after the Republican supermajority voted to permanently eliminate the last remaining Democrat congressional seat in their state. Tennessee is as red of a state as you can possibly get. But of course, they were forced by previous Supreme Court decisions to racially gerrymander a congressional district so as to guarantee a Democrat seat. As many of you know, for decades, the Democrats built their congressional majority largely through court-mandated districts drawn around majority-minority populations that deliberately excluded white voters from the mix. If you can, I mean, it's beyond belief that this was allowed to take place as long as it was for literally four decades. This Supreme Court, the Trumpian Supreme Court, has officially struck that down as racial discrimination in their Calais decision 6-3. And that decision has now given the green light for all red states all across the nation to eliminate their last remaining and, dare I say, thoroughly racist blue districts. And the state of Tennessee did not waste a second. Yesterday, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee signed a new congressional map into law. This wasn't just any map. This was a mid-decade redistricting passed in a special session convened specifically because Donald J. Trump called on Republican-led states to redraw their congressional lines ahead of the November midterms. The Tennessee House passed it overwhelmingly 64-25. The Senate followed, passing it 25-5. And Governor Lee signed it the same day. This is what decisive, unapologetic political leadership looks like. The map takes Shelby County, which is the home of Memphis, the only majority black congressional district in the state, and it splits it into three separate congressional districts, and it fragments Nashville into five districts. And what that means in plain language, is that the ultra-repulsive Democrat Steve Cohen, the lone Democrat in Tennessee's entire 9-member congressional delegation, is now officially gone. His seat has been effectively eliminated. He's been drawn out of his own seat, politically obliterated, mapped into oblivion. And man, did the Democrats flip out. Let's see if we've got this video.
I'll walk him out. Y'all go on?
Let go of him. Let go of him, sir.
You got me all tied up.
Sir, no.
Now you got me all tied up. My brother ain't doing nothing to do with him. Hey, you ain't doing nothing to do with him. Hey, you ain't doing nothing to do with him. You don't walk out by yourself. Move the back. Boy!
Let Rep Pearson go. Let Rep Pearson go.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Ted.
You stupid mother.
Yep, that's your modern day Democrat Party right there. In all of its glory. In fact, you know, it's gotten so bad. The Democrats, or at least the literate among them, the ones that didn't graduate from the Laring Center in Minneapolis, the ones who can actually read the writing on the wall, they're now actively advocating secession. I kid you not. Check this one out.
Secede from the state of Tennessee. You don't have to redraw maps when you let us out.
State Representative Antonio Parkinson says the new congressional map passed by the Tennessee state legislators silences the voices of Memphis voters.
A government that benefits from the people while weakening their political power creates the appearance of representation without self-determination.
Something he says he refuses to watch happen.
Do you think the passing of today's bill was really that breaking point?
The passing of that bill was as egregious as I've seen.
But the new lines drawn in the Tennessee congressional districts aren't the only new boundaries Parkinson says are in the conversation.
I'm advocating to become a state.
Parkinson is calling for Memphis to leave the volunteer state altogether.
Let my people go.
They're just flipping out. It's so beautiful. I love the sound of liberal tears in the morning. Unfortunately for the borderline illiterate Democrats, what this guy is advocating is legally impossible. Memphis couldn't secede without approval from both the state legislature and the United States Congress, which means in practice, it ain't ever gonna happen. The very state legislature they're furious at would have to vote to let them leave. Good luck. But what you're seeing there really is more of an admission than anything else. The Democrats have lost the redistricting war so badly that their only response is to fantasize about a secession that can never happen in reality. It's literally their only response is to retreat from reality. That tells you everything you need to know about where this party is right now. But this gets so much worse for the Democrats because what's happening in Tennessee is, of course, just the tip of the redistricting iceberg. And I mean just the tiny little tip. It's one tile in an absolutely breathtaking mosaic of Republican political dominance that is reshaping this nation's congressional map from coast to coast for the foreseeable future. Feast your eyes on this. This is what a MAGA. No, that's not what it is, Lawrence. You have to go to the next slide. We're trying it new with Lawrence here, but hopefully Lawrence will get the next slide. It's a MAGA. What you're supposed to be seeing is a MAGA centered America First political realignment and what it looks like in real time. So I'll just describe it for you here. You know, no, it's not what it is, Lawrence. Maybe we'll just stop for all intents and purposes. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis called a special session and signed a new map, adding 4 Republican seats just this week. Louisiana suspended its primary elections to redraw maps following the Supreme Court's ruling in Louisiana versus Calais. They're giving us 1 to 2 new seats. Mississippi announced a special session to eradicate their last remaining Democracy. Ah, there you go. Very good. Very good. To eradicate their last remaining Democrat seat. Alabama called a special session to eliminate their Democrat seat. And South Carolina looks like they're erasing their last remaining Democrat seat. So this means that Democrats like Bernie Thompson, the lone Mississippi Democrat representative, is about to be eliminated from Congress. He's been in Congress for 30 freaking years. Thompson was the chairman of the J6 Kangaroo Committee. He's gone. He's gone, along with that nut from Tennessee, Steve Cohen, with the ultra and the ultra repulsive Jasmine Crockett and old man Al Green. Some of the most vicious, vile anti-Trump Democrats are being systematically eliminated from Congress through these redistricting efforts. And how dare any of you blackpill? How dare any of you blackpill? These guys who have had absolute power for 30 plus years are being eviscerated. And the glory, that's half of it. The glory here is they're being replaced by solid red Republicans. So here's where we stand right now in terms of the redistricting. So Texas gives us 5 Republican seats. Florida gives us 4. Those are all guaranteed. No, they're not hanging up in court like Virginia is. Louisiana, it's going to be +1, +2. They need to go for +2. I've heard rumors that they're only going for +1. They have 2 Democrat districts. Get rid of them. Look at what Virginia just tried to pull off. Get rid of them. Missouri just gave us +1. North Carolina gave us +1. Ohio's giving us +2. Tennessee +1. Alabama, they're giving us their last remaining Democrat seat. Mississippi, as I told you, just giving us their last remaining Democrat seat. South Carolina is poised to give us their last remaining Democrat seat. Georgia is still up in the air, by the way. Georgia, unfortunately, they're up in the air because they're being led by that feckless anti-Trump Rhino Brian Kemp. But they could actually give us up to 4 seats like Florida did. Add it all up, and what do you get? Republicans are projected to gain up to 14 to 17 seats from all of this redistricting combined, while Democrats could pick up at most 10 in their own counter gerrymanders. So that's California's 5, Utah's 1 that's been mandated by a court that may get overturned, and Virginia's 4 that right now is being upheld, that has yet to be ruled on by the Virginia Supreme Court. It's being held up. I have upheld in my head. It's being held up by the Virginia Supreme Court. So it's only hanging on by a thread. They still haven't ruled on it, even though deadline dates have passed. So very interesting there. So we're going to see a net Republican gain of at least 7 to around 10 seats. And here's the key. It does depend in terms of the total amount of seats we're going into this midterm with. It depends where you put the floor. Where do you have the Republicans at in terms of safe seats? Crystal ball right now has the Republicans at a solid 211 and the Democrats in 209. I believe that is including Florida as well as Texas. And I do not believe that's including Virginia for the Democrats. But it's not including the other seats that are coming in this week. And so if that's the case, a net gain of, say, 7 seats. If MAGAs is sitting at 211, a net gain of 7 seats means the MAGA majority in the House of Representatives is now, if the maps hold and the election goes as expected, it is now functionally locked in. And that's what we're looking for. This is the new MAGA strategy for all midterms from this point forward. It is to structurally lock in a at least 218 majority for the GOP through this redistricting. The Democrats simply are boxed out. They cannot get to 218. They're exhausted. There's not much else they can do with their redistricting efforts. And I'm going to show you in a moment with whatever they happen to try to do desperately, what's left. The Republicans can beat them 2-1, 3-1, 4-1. They're not going to be able to take the gavel from Mike Johnson. The redistricting math simply does not work for them. Game over. Once the redistricting states are all formally incorporated, the math shifts significantly towards Republicans locking in their majority. Remember, this isn't even counting the impact of Louisiana versus Calais on future redistricting cycles. Analysts from both parties are now saying that by 2028, as more states implement new maps under the Calais standard, Republicans could gain many more additional seats beyond what we're already seeing. So this is why both the far leftists over at Slate.com and the more conservative-leaning Washington Examiner all basically have the same headlines. They're both seeing the exact same thing. There is no scenario, even in the most remote reality, where the Democrats don't get trounced in these redistricting wars. The Democrats base their entire congressional coalition over the last four decades on racially gerrymandered districts that are being slowly but surely wiped out. And I'm not even being remotely hyperbolic. All right, I am your Patriot Professor. I'm going to give you the numbers here, right? I hope you're sitting down for this, because this is going to blow your brain. This is going to make your weekend. You ready for this? Most people have no idea how bad the Calais decision is for the Democrats. They've got no idea. Ballotpedia, using data straight from the U.S. Census Bureau's 2024 American Community Survey, has identified the total number of House districts that were drawn with race as a predominant factor under the old Section 2 standard of the VRA, the Voting Rights Act. You want to take a guess? How many districts across the country were deliberately drawn using racial criteria for their gerrymandering? 148. 148 House districts were drawn using race as the predominant factor in their gerrymandering. That's a full one-third of the entire House of Representatives, 148 districts. You want to take a guess at how many of them are currently held by Democrats? 122. 122. Take a step back and reflect on the significance of that number. 122. That's more than half of the Democrats' entire 212-seat caucus. That's more than half. When I say that their entire congressional majority or coalition, since they're in the minority, was built on racial gerrymandering, I'm not kidding. More than half of their 212-seat caucus is based on maps that the Calais decision just declared unconstitutional. More than half. Now think about that for a moment. Think about what we've been living under for the last 40 years. The Democrat Party didn't just build its House coalition on policy or on issues or on promises. It built it on racially engineered geography that the Supreme Court has just decimated as radically unconstitutional. There is no way the Democrat Party survives this long term. The ramifications of Calais, it's literally a nuke that exploded, and the radiation poisoning is going to go on for years if you're a Democrat. What we're seeing right now in these redistricting efforts is all just the tip. When we're talking about 20 seats, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Democrat districts are going to be eviscerated throughout the nation. We're talking the potential of hundreds upon hundreds of districts. And there's good reason for that. There's good reason. Because what we are really seeing when all is said and done is the final achievement of MAGA ascendant. What's happening here is that the Democrats are being destroyed not by the Supreme Court. They're not being destroyed by even their own insanity and absurdities. They're being destroyed ultimately by you, by the rise of the MAGA movement. The MAGA movement is becoming so formidable, so awesome, that this pathetic, racially based coalition of the Democrat Party is literally collapsing in its face. Wait, I've got the stats. Wait till you see this. But first, gang, if you are just joining us, our super chats are up. So feel free to send in your comments and your questions. I'll be happy to answer them on our live stream here. Also, did you know that U.S. life expectancy peaked at 78 years back in 2014? And global life expectancy is declining for the first time in 30 years because people are aging faster than ever before. And this is largely due to more toxins in the air and chemicals in our soil and food and other external factors that are new to us. Now, what most people don't know is that we can actually fight aging on a cellular level. Scientists have discovered that kimchi actually slows the aging process of human cells, helping to protect them and delay aging. The power of nature can outweigh the power of pharmaceuticals without the nasty side effects. And now you can get all the benefits of kimchi in a simple capsule with Kimchi One. I take Kimchi One every single morning. I absolutely love it. Each capsule delivers over 900 probiotic strains plus antioxidants and enzymes that support your digestion, metabolism, and skin health from the inside out. You know, as we age, we become more susceptible to microbial threats, harmful viruses and bacteria. And the beauty is that Kimchi One is a natural antimicrobial, helping your body fight off harmful bacteria, viruses, and even toxins while boosting immunity and energy. And best of all, Kimchi One is 100% made in America. It's all natural and non-GMO. So what I do, I take my Kimchi One every single day, and I want you to do that too. Support your gut, protect your cells, and feel younger every day with Kimchi One from Brightcore. Today, you can get an exclusive offer by clicking the link below. Just use code TURLEY for 25% off your entire order, or for even a better deal, give my good friends at Brightcore a call for 50% off plus free shipping. Give them a call right now, 888-597-0233. That's 888-597-0233. All right, so let me give you what I believe to be is the most important analysis of everything we've covered today, because when you step all the way back and you look at the full panorama, the Tennessee redistricting, all these odious congressional Democrats losing their seats, the secession threats, the state-by-state wave rolling across every red state in the country, what are we really seeing here? I would argue that we're actually watching something awaken that has never happened before in the history of our nation, something absolutely historic, and has you on the front lines. It's nothing less than the full recalibration of the nation around MAGA, around the MAGA movement. You see, what we have to understand is that from 2015 until now, MAGA has been at its core an Article II movement. MAGA, where did I get MAGA from? That's going to be my new nickname, MAGA. MAGA has always been a presidential movement, right? Donald Trump descended that golden escalator in 2015, and he transformed American politics from the top down, from the White House, from the executive branch, restoring constitutional Article II executive power, which is immense, as it turns out. It had, up to that time, been, over the last 70 years, been co-opted by the administrative state, by this fourth branch of government, this bureaucracy, Trump, unelected bureaucrats. Trump got rid of all of that. He wiped that away. He destroyed that and restored constitutional executive power to the White House, to the Oval Office. He tackled everything with that power: immigration, trade, energy, foreign policy, every lever of federal executive power pulled in the direction of America first. Trump used the executive pen to recalibrate the entire federal government around civilizationalist America first principles. And it was extraordinary. What he has accomplished in this last year and a half is beyond historic. It's literally civilization altering. But, and this is where so much frustration has been building up, MAGA has thus far been consigned solely to the executive branch. It had yet to reach the Republican Party at large. So the MAGA movement has centered on one man, Donald Trump. it had yet to recalibrate the entire Republican Party as a whole. The nationwide Republican apparatus, right? The establishment, the advisor class, the donors, the strategists, they were all still comprised mainly of the old guard, Romney, Ryan, Rove, Mitch McConnell, John Thune guard. And that apparatus stretched out through congressional Republicans, obviously Senate Republicans, and Republican-dominated state legislatures throughout the country. MAGA was an executive movement that had yet to translate into a legislative movement. But here's what the political scientists and legacy commentators missed. Here's what the Never Trumpers and the establishment Republicans never quite understood. MAGA was not only a presidential movement, it was a civilizational realignment. And civilizational realignments do not stay contained in the executive branch. They spread. They inevitably diffuse. They work their way down through every layer of the political system, from the federal executive to the federal judiciary to the Congress to state legislators to school boards to city councils. They reshape the entire constitutional architecture of a nation. And gang, what we are watching right now in Tennessee and Texas and Florida and Missouri and Louisiana and Alabama and Mississippi and South Carolina is the moment when the MAGA realignment finally arrived in state legislatures. Finally, it arrived, and it arrived with a vengeance. Think about it. For years, one of the most persistent critiques of the MAGA movement was, yeah, sure, Trump controls the White House, but he hasn't built lasting congressional coalitions. He hasn't translated it into state legislative majorities that can drive durable structural change. And of course, there was a kernel of truth to that critique. MAGA had been heavy on executive action, light on legislative architecture. And that's also largely because our Congress right now is so dysfunctional. But he was very successful at the Supreme Court. His judicial appointments, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Barrett, have now led a transformed Supreme Court that is, I would argue, instituting MAGA through law for sure. That is definitely durable. But state legislatures, state maps, the structural machinery of electoral politics at the local level, that was still a major work in progress. Until now. Because here's what's happened. The MAGA movement has now captured not just the White House, not just the Supreme Court. It's now captured the redistricting process itself. And in American politics, the redistricting process is the structural architecture. Whoever draws the maps controls the outcomes. Whoever controls the outcomes controls the Congress. And whoever controls the Congress controls the legislative agenda for the next decade. And Republicans, animated by Trump, emboldened by Trump, directed by Trump, are effectively drawing those maps. Trump, he's the one who triggered this redistricting wave. He personally called on Texas Republicans who were really wishy-washy at the beginning. They didn't want to do this mid-decade. He called on them to get the ball rolling, get this whole thing started. He pressured Greg Abbott and the Texas legislature, the Republicans there, to get that plus five map done. And they did it. Trump celebrated the Louisiana versus Calais ruling and immediately called on all Republican states to act. This has always been his midterm strategy for 2026. From the very beginning, we win by flexing our power. That's MAGA. MAGA isn't interested in establishment protocols that demand we wait until the end of the decade to redistrict because that's what we vote. No, screw that. If we can do it legally, then we do it. We don't wait. We don't remain drunk in establishment protocols like the Indiana feckless Republican Senate did, listening to the siren songs of establishment rhinos like Mike Pence, who are all losers as of today. This week proved that if you're an establishment rhino, you are a loser. Whereas MAGA is all about what? Winning, winning, winning. We use power to crush the Democrats and eviscerate them from entire regions in our nation. And if we've got the opportunity to do it, we do it. We don't wait. We don't hesitate. We crush them before they crush us. This is smash mouth politics that's at the core of MAGA. We win the midterms by completely realigning our maps so as to guarantee Republican majorities for the foreseeable future. And now what are we seeing? What are we seeing? Every single Republican governor and state legislature that just a couple of years ago would never even imagine doing this, every Republican governor and state legislature in the South is saying, yeah, let's do that. That's awesome. That's it. They've called special sessions. They redrew their maps. They didn't ask permission. They didn't wait for the legacy media to approve. They didn't negotiate with themselves. They weren't afraid of being called racist and bigots and shame. They didn't give a shit about any of that. They were, for the first time in our lives, the Republican Party wasn't afraid anymore. They're not afraid anymore. They're not afraid of the legacy media. They're not afraid of the Democrats. They're not afraid of Hollywood. They're not afraid of the demonstrators. They realized they had the power, not the media, not the race hustlers, not the establishment Democrats. They, the Republicans, the Trumpian-led Republicans have the power. They've got all the power, and they can use that power to realign politics in their favor for the rest of this century. That is the MAGA ethos translated into state-level legislative action. It is absolutely extraordinary to behold. And here's the civilizational significance of what we're watching. We're not merely witnessing a political party gaining a handful of congressional seats. We are watching the death throes of the Democrat Party as a governing majority. The Democrats have built their entire electoral strategy for the last 30 to 40 years around three pillars: racial gerrymandering, urban concentration, and judicial activism, enforcing those two other pillars. The Voting Rights Act was weaponized, and I use that word deliberately. It was weaponized to create safe Democrat seats, regardless of whether the surrounding geography, the surrounding communities, the surrounding voters actually wanted those Democrats. They engineered the electoral map through the courts. They took the pen out of the state legislature's hand and gave it to federal judges, as they always did, and it worked. For a while. For years, Democrats held seats in states like Tennessee, Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, states that are overwhelmingly Republican in every statewide contest, simply because they had locked down one congressional district through court-mandated racial line drawing. Louisiana v. Calais ended all of that. It's gone. The era of racially engineered Democrat congressional seats is over. And in its wake, MAGA-aligned state legislatures are moving with breathtaking speed to redraw the political landscape of America. This is not gerrymandering for its own sake. This is the political map finally coming into alignment with the actual political reality of these states. Tennessee is a red state. It's always a red state. The only reason it had a Democrat congressman, and an odious one at that, was because the courts drew a line around Memphis specifically to guarantee a Democrat seat, regardless of the broader political will of the state. You'll notice they never did that with the blue states. The courts never mandated a red district in the midst of blue New England. That's not democracy. That's deliberate political engineering. The new maps we're seeing now, that, ironically, is the essence of democracy. That's the people having their political will permanently enshrined geographically. The new map says, here are the communities of the state. Here are the geographic populations. Let them be represented as they actually are, not as the DNC would like them to be. And the Democrats know it. They know what this means. They're not in denial. They're in full-blown panic. Legal commentators on the left are remarkably candid this week. One analyst said Democrats have gone from a scenario where they shaped the electorate to one where they're losing control of it entirely. But I would argue they had it backwards from the start. That is what Democrats were doing. They were telling the voters of Tennessee, Alabama, Louisiana, we don't care how you vote. We're going to guarantee our candidate wins your seat anyway because we drew the lines to make it so, using race as our weapon. That was the anti-Democrat gerrymander. And it's now over. So zoom all the way out here with me because I want you to see the full civilizational picture of just how awesome this really is. If you've been a part of this channel for these last several years and if not, make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. You know that we are living through a global civilizational realignment. It's not just happening here. It's happening all over the world, particularly in Europe. We're seeing it with Giorgio Meloni in Italy. We saw it with, I would say, Viktor Orban in Hungary, but we have to say Orbanism in Hungary, right? Viktor Orban lost his election, but his governing civilizational philosophy continues through Peter Magyar. In fact, Peter Magyar basically argued I'm more Orban than Orban. We see it with the Alternative for Deutschland, the AfD, rising in Germany. We see it with Javier Milei dismantling the Argentine establishment. We see it with Marine Le Pen and the National Rally transforming French politics. All across the Western world, civilizational populism, the movement that says our civilization, our culture, our people, our nation is rising against the globalist cosmopolitan elite that have held power for decades. Civilizational populism is the dominant political force of our era. In America, that force has a name, MAGA. And MAGA has now reached every level of the American political system. It reached the White House in 2016 and again in 2024. I think it did in 2020, but we'll leave that. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It reached the Supreme Court through three transformative judicial appointments. It reached the House through narrow but persistent majorities. Thank you, Mike Johnson. And now, thanks to the redistricting earthquake that we're witnessing this very week, it's finally reaching state legislatures. It's reaching the machinery of American democracy itself. The Democrat Party is not simply losing an election cycle. It's literally losing the structural capacity to compete. It's losing the ability to engineer outcomes through courts. It's losing its carefully drawn majority-minority districts. It's losing its safe seats in states it long ago surrendered at the statewide level. It's being squeezed out systematically, structurally, and permanently. Not because of voter suppression, not because of cheating, not because of Russian interference, no. But because the voters of the United States of America, state by state, have decided they want something different. They want America first. They want civilizational restoration. They want MAGA. And the maps are now being drawn to reflect that reality. For decades, the Democrat Party controlled the House, the Senate, the White House, the courts, the media, the academy, the deep state, and the congressional map. They thought their dominance was permanent. They thought history was on their side. But history is not on the side of any party. History is on the side of the people. And the people, the magnificent, patriotic, civilization-loving people of this country, rose up in November 2024 and said, enough. And now, as a sitting Democrat legislature in Memphis calls for a city to secede from the state of Tennessee because it can no longer win the election as party engineered, that panic, that desperation, that meltdown tells you everything you need to know. The MAGA political earthquake has arrived in the states. It is permanent. It is structural. And there's absolutely nothing the Democrat Party can do about it. Over to you guys, over to you as Lawrence, our moderator, puts together your questions. Remember, our super chats are live, so if you have questions, it'd be my honor and privilege to read and answer them right here, right now. Also, let's face it, you had a number in your head, the number you thought would be enough to retire, and then the price of life went up and up and up. And now the question isn't whether you saved, it's whether you saved what you saved could still buy the retirement you planned for. Now think about what's happening right now. Wars flaring up, oil spikes, and then everything gets higher. Gas, groceries, insurance bills, everything. We've seen this before. We're watching a structural shift in the global economy where inflation isn't temporary. It's embedded. And historically, when that happens, purchasing power doesn't recover. It erodes. Your dollar buys less. Your savings carry less. And people who are counting down to retirement start wondering if they have to push it all back. All because the cost of living moved the finish line. That was my wake-up call. I knew there had to be something else that I could do to protect what I built. So I researched. And that's when I found Augusta Precious Metals. And gang, they taught me things I didn't even know were possible. I had no idea you could move your IRA or 401k into physical gold, a tax-free and penalty-free, a real asset that's held its value through war, oil spikes, market chaos. And that changed everything for me. I've spoken with Augusta's education team. These guys know their stuff, and they explain it clearly. So here's what I recommend you do right now. Go to TurleyBuysGold.com or text Turley to 35052 to get Augusta's free gold IRA guide. That's TurleyBuysGold.com or text Turley to 35052 because the retirement you dreamed of is still possible, but only if you protect it. All right, Lawrence, what do we got? Give me some of these questions here, my friend. There we go. Johnny the Whiz Kid, the part where you promote products, what items would you recommend for weight loss? I fast, but my stomach isn't flat. My mom keeps saying I need to tone it. But the products you use help you with that. What were they? And when do you think Trump will address black on white crime? I see a lot of killings from blacks and then they're let go because of a lot of bullcrap excuses. We just can't keep living like this. What can Trump do about it? Mass crack. Downs just asking. Well, let me go backwards. Let me do that. So one of the big things that Trump is doing in terms of cracking down on DC was precisely that he was arguing that the DC establishment was basically Soros bought. And what Soros wants to do is he wants to foster so much social chaos, particularly in our cities, that the people turned a Mamdani-like figure. These far left figures, social bona fide communist socialists, to try to restore order, as it were. So the idea is it's you blame all of this crime and so forth on racism and social inequities, and then you bring in the people who they basically they're the arsonists who then turn around and claim that they're the fire department. So he is doing that, and he has been pressuring red states to crack down on their blue cities that are allowing all of this rampant crime. But there's only so, again, given our federal structure, there's only so much he can do at that sort of local municipal level. In the end, this is going to be a red state versus blue state competition. And what we should see in every red state are beautiful cities, beautiful, clean, crime-free cities, like you would see, for example, I was just in Hungary, in Budapest, You feel safe anywhere you go at any time of the night, anywhere you walk in Budapest or in Tokyo. I spent many, many weeks, months even in Tokyo. You're never going to feel worried or scared on any street corner in a city of 40 million. There's no excuse we should be doing that. And it's really comes down to red state governors enforcing the law and over their blue cities. In terms of the promotion of products, PhD weight loss was a game changer for me. So just look them up, PhD weight loss. They were, I lost 60 pounds with their program, and then gained some back, and I lost another 30 pounds after I had gained all that weight back. They're just phenomenal, and I couldn't recommend them anymore. I don't take anything for weight loss. It has to do with a coach who can structure your diet. I also have now an exercise coach by the name of Anthony Deal. He's going to be with us on a couple of programs coming up. And he's wonderful. He's amazing. He was America's Strongest Man winner. And he knows health, metabolics, you name it, like the back of his hand. And he can put together a program for you and keep you accountable to it so you can start seeing that weight loss go down.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Brian, welcome back, World Traveler. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, man. There are conflicting reports about Iran's weapon stockpile and ability to endure. My sole curiosity is if you think America will stick with the president to finish this, or at the midterms, in spite of all the recent gains, will be a referendum on the war. What's your take? Yeah, well, that's as I understand it, that's what Iran is trying to do. They're trying to prolong this as and make this hurt for the midterms. They're not idiots. They know how our system works, and they're trying to exploit it against Trump. No, it seems to me their weapon stockpiles have been utterly depleted. Again, otherwise they would be launching attacks all the time. Again, I know there's a line of analysis that says, oh, they've got all these hidden, you know, in these North Korean built bunkers and tunnels underneath these mountains. They've got all these hidden, you know, hypersonic missiles and so forth. I mean, show me, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. As I see it right now, we've dominated them. As Victor Davis Hanson said, militarily, they are now officially inert. They can't really do anything, nothing major. They can't project power. And so now all Trump is doing is just squeezing them with a boa constrictor like vice economically. And he's just waiting for them more or less to collapse. And so, yeah, they can endure because, you know, the regime is the one that's going to the money goes to for whatever money they have. It goes to the regime first. But eventually the idea is eventually the people will have had enough. With a currency that's lost, you know, 40, 50, 60% of its value just in the last year. It's 1.7 million reals to every dollar. I mean, it's just, it's absolutely extraordinary the amount of economic hardship they were in before a single bomb dropped, let alone now basically cutting them off from any oil exports, losing $500 million a day. It's just not sustainable. So they'll keep going. But it looks like the polls show that most Americans are cool as long as nobody's dying. as long as we're not seeing the bodies coming back through Dover, the latest polling from Harvard Harris showed 76% of the population thought we were winning, and they were cool with it. And the media can just blah, blah, blah till they're blue in the face. Nobody's listening to them anymore. So I think we're okay so far, but we'll see. We'll know halfway through the summer, probably into August. We'll have an idea. Remember, that does tend to be a low period, though, a dip for Republican polling, because Republicans are off living our best lives in the summer with our families. So we'll know, though. I think we'll have a good idea of July or August, but hopefully this will be over by then. RT Gore, oh, great. Aunt Lared, Patriot Professor Trump and many others say gas prices will go down after the war is over, but I'm not so sure. Even with OPEC pumping more oil, the jet fuel shortage in Europe and other shortages will keep prices high. Just because supply goes up while demand is still extremely high doesn't mean prices go down, right? Sure, in the long term, prices could go below a dollar, but not until all the shortages are gone. No, good point. I mean, it's a very complex picture. I don't know how much Europe affects the supply and demand structure and cost of oil. To my knowledge, it's not significant. It's more China, it's India, it's the United States. They're the ones who are really at Middle East. They're the big consumers of in terms of demand for oil. We should be okay. Again, it won't necessarily go down to a dollar, but it'll get down, hover around that $2 range very soon. Keith, there's well-known pollster who's been giving a doom and gloom outcome for keeping the house. I hope he's wrong. Can you explain why he's giving a bad outlook on everything? I don't know. I don't know what the pollster you're referring to. So there are pollsters out there. Well, again, it's polling. So just right there, you have to watch out, because polling is we use it, no question, but it is a limited vantage point of what's going on. It has limited predictive value, or it has ambiguous predictive value. But generally speaking, the argument is that Trump's war in Iran has turned off a small but significant portion of his coalition. These tend to be the disaffected independent voters. Disaffected independent populace who are generally low to no prop voters. And if they're not excited about a candidate, they're not going to show up for him. That's what low to no prop. It's low to no propensity. Either they voted in just very few of the last several elections, or they've never voted at all in the last several elections. So the low to no prop voter came out in super majorities, as it were. They came out like they never had in 2024, as they did in the Brexit referendum in the UK in 2016. And they made all the difference. They gave Trump that massive margin. But they're not necessarily coming out for the midterms, given what Trump is doing in Iran. I find the analysis very problematic just at that level. And so when they look at the polls, that's what they're looking at it through that lens. I find that very, very problematic, because like I made the argument here, the Trump coalition is not the Republican coalition. It does not necessarily translate. We learned that the hard way in 2022. A Trump coalition. So you could say, well, he just blew up the coalition, so that's bad news for JD. That's a whole different story in 2028. But it's not necessarily good or bad news for the Republicans, because Republicans have to make their own case. And in effect, I think have to create their own coalition. They have to draw from the Trump coalition and convince the majority of them that they're the ones that they're going to want to vote for in order to maintain the gains they've made through what the person they voted for back in 2024. But it's not a one-to-one correlation. So to me, I mean, bottom line, when we're looking at the polling, what I'm seeing right now is Democrats have a 3-4 point advantage over Republicans, but that's nothing compared to what they had back in 2018 when they won 40 seats. They had a double digit lead at this time over the Republicans. And ironically, they even lost 2 seats in the Senate despite that. And that was, by the way, the year that Florida started to turn deep red in 2018. So even with that double digit lead over the Republicans at this time before the 2018 elections, things still turned against the Democrats. So this is what I mean. I think there's a structural change happening that a lot of polls don't yet quite reflect. MAGA 24 Hour, Dr. Steve, do the Indiana Republican primary results give any indication of how Republicans will do in November midterms? Yeah, I just in the sense that MAGA is fired up. So there is a MAGA coalition. There are voters out there that voted for Trump and they are ready to impose their expectations, their values, interests, concerns on their fellow Republican legislators. And those fellow Republican legislators turn their backs on MAGA, there's going to be very, very serious repercussions. So definitely in Indiana, what we saw is MAGA is alive and well at the legislative level. And that's what we're seeing. Again, like with the previous question, we want to see MAGA eventually translated into a legislative coalition, but it's not quite there yet. What Indiana does prove, and what these redistricting efforts prove, is that it's starting to move in that direction. We're starting to see MAGA at the legislative level, not simply at the executive level. Richard, Dr. Steve, in your opinion, does the U.S. military resume offensive actions in Iran? They already are. They're saying it's not a violation of the ceasefire. It's just sort of like mopping up issues because Iran is attacking. They're at very low level. You know, we're talking speedboat attacks and so forth, but every time and some drone attacks, but every time because of our astropolitical advantage, because of Space Force satellites, we're able to see in real time where they're coming from, and we're able to take out the source of where it's. So we already are. I think we're going to. Yeah, I doubt. I just think there's more to. I mean, obviously the escalation ladder. The more Iran drags its feet, the more Trump will probably turn to the escalation ladder, squeeze the boa constrictor grip all the more to finally force them to capitulate. William, is there any truth that the new bishop in West Virginia elevated by the Pope is an illegal? Yeah, I understand he is. I haven't read enough about it. To say one way or the other, but yes, apparently he is an undocumented person. I believe so, but I shouldn't, since I don't know enough, I should not make any. Make sure you do some your own research on that. But if he did, it's just a further example of how the Vatican has just been ideologically captured by progressive realists, and to that extent, they're just relegating themselves to irrelevance in an increasingly civilizationalist world. RoboGuy75, with the summer coming, you think Trump may need the military in case the commies become desperate enough for more violent attacks or riots? Oh, yeah, no, he's made it clear. He'll be happy to use the military if he needs to. Yeah, they will get increasingly desperate. There's no question about that. As they start to realize the implications of Calais, and that literally half their seats are now basically unconstitutional. Half their congressional seats are unconstitutional. As they realize the effects of the reapportionment of the electoral vote and redistricting as via the 2030 census, where they're going to lose at least another 12 to 14 seats. I think they're going to realize this, the jig is up and it's over. And then to the extent that they're true believers, that we're fascists and they are angels, you know, they are narcissists. Remember, they're malignant narcissists. So they believe they're heroes. They believe they're saving us, and they're going to save us regardless of whether we want it or not. Yeah, they'll inevitably defer to violence. They already do. I mean, they call it assassination culture. That was that Rutgers study that found that nearly 60% of Democrats had embraced violence as a legitimate form of political expression. Larry always pains my soul when Democrats try to quote scripture to try to make their point as a gotcha. Yeah. No, I know. It's kind of stupid. It's kind of silly. I mean, again, well, here, let me help you with that, Larry, because, I was just talking about this with someone the other day. You have to remember, the West is, who's the one who wrote Dominion? Who's the British historian on the history of the Christian faith? Why am I forgetting his name? Put it in the chat if you guys know it. He makes a very, very good argument. He's talking with N.T. Wright, the former bishop, Anglican bishop, and amazing New Testament scholar. And he was pointing out the West is Christian. There's no escaping that. The West is Christian. At the heart of the Christian message is emancipation and liberation from sin, death, and the devil. That's what Christ has affected us to do. That's what the resurrection is about. He's above all powers and principalities. The resurrected Christ is above any and all physical, spiritual powers ever in all of creation. Therefore, he is above creation. Hence, he is creator. He's God. And he promises through that resurrection to emancipate us in the same way and draw us into the inner life of the heavenly realm. And so liberation, emancipation is at the heart of the Christian gospel. And so it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on, left or right, you're still going to be radically affected by the Christian gospel. You're going to be radically affected by the liberalism, dare I say it, the emancipationism of the gospel. And so what you're seeing from the left is just sort of this bastardized version of it in cultural Marxist terms. And misses, I think, the biblical categories of it in civilizational terms. A true city of God has broken into the world, a new Jerusalem has broken to the world. That's where we get the word civilization from, the civitas, the city. And that the whole cultural Marxist frame is radically problematic at its core, since it designates a particular group of people as permanent oppressors and another group as permanently oppressed, rather than seeing the true oppressor as being Satan and his demonic dominion, and that all people, not just select group, but all people, are subject to the oppression and are beneficiaries of liberation. And so trying to deliberately destroy culture, custom, and tradition simply because it's been arbitrarily designated as oppressive is itself, ironically, I think, at the service of the very demonic dominion that we all seek liberation from. Robo Guy, you say Jersey may go red, but I don't know. Well, I said that several months ago. I know what you mean. Certainly since November 25. We couldn't vote. There you go. We're thinking the right way, Robo Guy. We're thinking together. We couldn't vote in Jack, but no. And we elected. We could have voted in Jack, but no. And we elected a far leftist. Yeah, Mikey Sherrill to take Mikey Sherrill's seat. I live here. I want New Jersey to go red and thrive. We got too many liberal hacks. I know. Now, and RoboGuy, take a look at the district by district or county by county maps, and you'll see it's just flooded with red. But I know it's the Philly overflow and it's the New York overflow, and it's just Camden and all that. It's just, yeah. I mean, they've got the numbers. They cheat. As I understand, I mean, they even bust people in from Camden into Philly to vote. So they cross over statewide and cheat in those elections. The point is, though, that it's just, it's a trajectory. It's a movement. It's a dynamic. And Jersey is getting redder and redder and redder. It's getting less and less and less blue. So the margins in Jersey used to be for the Democrat at the presidential level, 30 points, 25, 20, 15. So now they're getting within single digits. So it's moving in that direction. When it's going to happen, it's anyone's guess. I mean, keep in mind, DeSantis won by less than 1% in 2018. He almost lost to a crackhead. You know, so you just but if you've been keeping your eye on the trajectory of Florida, you knew that its status as a purple state that voted for Obama twice, you knew that that status was starting to collapse because you saw it particularly in the Latino vote, where Latino vote was getting less and less Democrat. And then you were seeing it in the voter registrations where it was getting more and more Republican. And there was this, and then in 2022, you had a 20-point landslide against Charlie Crist. It literally is what we call a tipping point, where you just have just this mass effect of all these factors coming in. And then a less than 1% victory in 4 years turns into a 20% victory, and no one's going, and now it's a super majority legislation, and now you're going to have a map with I think there's only two or three Democrats left in the entire state in terms of its congressional cohort. So it's tough, but it is happening, and you just have to be patient. My father was born and raised in Morristown, New Jersey. Spent my Christmases and Thanksgivings and Easters in the beautiful town of Morristown on Camden Avenue, and love Jersey. I grew up in Connecticut and spent a lot of time in Jersey. My cousins are all in Jersey. And so, no, my heart is there. I'm with you. And my disappointment and, you know, the gut punch is there as well after Mikey Sherrill won so overwhelmingly, even though we were able to overperform for Jack Cittarelli before in comparison to 2021. But alas, you know, just Democrats, there's just more Democrats right now in Jersey than Republicans. We're just going to have to wait until it begins to tip. Casparius Ghost, if parts of Tennessee were allowed to secede and become their own state, could you imagine the precedent to the secedent? That would cause the precedent to the secessions. I think that would cause Red Cali secession. Exactly. He's not thinking. I mean, this guy isn't thinking it all the way. He's not thinking it all the way through. But of course, that's right. If Memphis can secede, oh my. Then the redistricting wars will then be replaced by the true wars, which are the secession wars. And again, I think we would win because the Democrats are so regionally concentrated. They're regionally concentrated around urban centers, the LAs, the San Franciscos, the Portlands, the Washingtons, the Denvers, the Chicagos, the Bostons, the New Yorks, the Phillies. That's where they're concentrated. So if you want to break this up into regional secessions, be my guest. We'll have 22 blue states to 500 red states? I mean, sure, go right ahead. Sherry, Virginia got overturned this morning. It remains 6-5. I did not see that. Oh, did the Supreme Court weigh in? Let me get my computer, my slow computer going here. If that's true, I'm not questioning you, your sincerity of just if what you're reporting is accurate. That didn't sound any better either. You know what I'm trying to say, Sherry. As we all together corroborate, if that turns out to be the case, that is gigantic. I mean, that's the redistricting wars right there. Let me just check. Get on trusty old X. Let's see. Well, Sherry LaSalle. You know, Lawrence, I wish we had something we could send Sherry because everyone. Sherry has just broken news for us here, although this report is an hour old. So forgive me. The Virginia Supreme Court has ruled. They have overturned the Democrat gerrymandering referendum officially. the old map of 10 to 1, that's the old map, right, that was voted on 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, has been replaced with the new map, Democrats 6, Republicans 5. That is gigantic. That's gigantic. And maybe that's the midterms right there, very possibly. Very cool, Sherry. Thank you for breaking that news for us. Virginia Demery, gerrymander ruled unconstitutional. Oh, you're all coming on in. Sven, thank you, sir. Yeah, Sven Olson, yes. Excellent. Yeah, very, very huge. That was a gigantic. It looked like, I mean, what's his name? Cuccinelli. He was the former attorney general the former governor of Virginia. Youngkin, Cuccinelli was already arguing, oh, these last 2 weeks, this thing's going down. There is no way this, it was so blatantly unconstitutional, according to their own constitution. Remember, in order to amend the Virginia Constitution, which that referendum did, because they have in their constitution, this very same population that voted overwhelmingly to have a nonpartisan redistricting commission oversee how districts were drawn. If you're going to change that, you needed to have a legislative session vote on that. Then you had to have an intermediating statewide election as a form of kind of balance of power. And then the new legislature had to vote on that referendum or that constitution changing bill again. And they didn't do that. They didn't even remotely do that. So it was just and then the wording has to be objective. It has to be nonpartisan. They used the word fair in it. It was a radically Democrat-oriented redistricting that they claimed was objective and fair. I mean, it was just so blatantly fraud. But again, this is what they do when you're near death throes. You engage in silly antics like this. Harbor Lights, Dr. Steve, 4-3 decision. Yep, 4-3. I can't believe that. Now, if I recall, Virginia has the majority Republicans, but Democrats just exist to destroy the country. That's all they do. They exist just to impose their sick, twisted will on everyone. Just look at Justice Autopen. They don't care about the law. They'll step on anything just to impose their will. Absolutely. It violated procedural rules to put the redistricting referendum on the ballot. The election results are thrown out. Amen. Thank you, Harbor Lights. Stephanie, Arizona was also heavily gerrymandered. We had a lot of voter and immigration fraud. Now Arizona is working on redistricting too. It may not happen for midterms, but perhaps 2020. Absolutely. It doesn't have to happen for midterms, but it's going to happen. And you can only imagine if this map is a solid at least 220, 222 for Republicans. You can only imagine what it's going to be in 2028. Robo Guy, thoughts on people from red states telling people coming from blue states to stay in the rot they made. I've seen many videos of it in Florida, Texas, et cetera, saying they're full and don't want any more people coming. Well, certainly, I mean, you have a right to say that. It's your territory, you know, no question. All I could say, though, is it was ambiguous originally around 2018, where we started to see red states growing and growing and growing. And it did look ambiguous. It did look like all these people were moving from California and from New York and Jersey and Massachusetts, and they were bringing their blue state politics with them. So Arizona went blue, voted for Biden, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Georgia's been going blue, and people were worried Texas would eventually go blue. But we started to see, particularly around the 2018 election, when Ted Cruz was running for re-election against O'Rourke. And we started to see the data that came in. And ironically, if only native Texans voted in that election, O'Rourke would have won by about 1 or 2 points. It was precisely because of the left UGs, particularly from California. They voted for Ted Cruz overwhelmingly. And then since then, we have seen virtually all the red states now getting redder, 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 deep, deep red. It's happened with Texas. It's happened with Florida. It's happened with Tennessee, and certainly happened with Arizona now with about a 7.8 point Republican voter registration advantage. And what is basically happening is that people are moving and leaving blue states intentionally. They do not want to be in this kind of politics anymore. And so when they do go to the red states, ironically, they're the most hardcore. They're the ones who are defending this new red state that they're in from any semblance of left-wing nonsense. It also explains why Indiana Senate Republicans did what they did in voting against redistricting, because they're not getting transplants in Indiana. The transplants, the leftugies, the hardcore zealot right-wingers who are going to be the Gandalfs fighting the good fight to make sure that the left-wing nonsense they left never comes into the red states that they've come to. They're not moving to Indiana. Indiana's just this quiet, placid red state, and it doesn't know how to fight. It doesn't have this hardcore left-UG demographic that's come in that's going to demand that they destroy any semblance of left-wing lunacy that they left. So it's one of the reasons why Texas, Tennessee, Florida, North Carolina, it's one of the reasons why they've been so quick to redistrict. Missouri Ohio had to. They were legally required to. But Missouri was actually the first one. I think they were even before Texas. But anyway, so. Kevin, Republicans sue California for racist redistricting. They should. Joan, in recent interview, Scott Pressler by Jessica Kelly, Scott gave his opinion that if Republican senators do not pass the SAVE Act, Republican voters will rebel and stay home, letting Democrats take control. Indiana voters showed up, and if Republicans did that, they should be shooting themselves in the head instead of the foot. I'm with you, Joan. You get nothing. You get worse than nothing. You get lunatics in power if you stay home. At least with the Republicans, what you can do is, all right, look, I'll give you this vote, but the power's in the primaries. And that's exactly what we saw in Indiana. The power's in the primaries. So if there's issues with John Thune, if there's issues with Senate Democrats, get rid of them in the primary. You don't stay home and then put Chuck Schumer in charge. I mean, look at the insanity that the UK is going through right now because they decided to punish the Tories. Now you could say, well, they've got something better. They've got a Reform UK party that's just absolutely crushing it in their local elections right this week. But I guess you can. But at what damage? And again, they can do all kinds of things to try to thwart this stuff, as we saw with the VRA and as they tried all the gimmicks that they tried in the 4 years of Biden. So all I would say is, yes, please don't stay home. Get out there and vote, and then get rid of Thune in the primaries. Get rid of him. He can't be a Senate Majority Leader if he's voted out. Deborah, will MAGA supporters vote for GOP candidates or just stay home? Oh, there you go. That's okay. We'll have to see. I'm from what I'm seeing thus far, they're going to vote. I'm not seeing any indicator that they're staying home. And in the special elections, GOP has actually been doing very, very well in off-year elections for being the party in power that normally suffers tremendous losses just because their own party is placid and lackadaisical, because we've got the White House, the most powerful position in the world. So who cares about dog catcher, right? Whereas the opposition party, the minority party, is more rapidly, ready to take back control any way they can. So I'm going to get the craziest left-wing lunatic dog catcher out there. So I the fact that we're doing so well as we are tells me they're going to show up. Stephanie, Arizona's Maricopa County has a population bigger than some states. So talks have taken place of breaking apart Maricopa County. So whoever wins Maricopa wins Arizona may no longer be the case. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Yeah, that's been the case for, gosh, forever, right? Yeah, Maricopa, yeah, you can't compete with Maricopa. It's two-thirds, three-fifths of the state, something like that, population. Be very interesting. Kevin, President Trump should demand funding for a new 2027 census as part of budget reconciliation bill with reapportionment due in time for 2028 primaries. I love it. I would love to see that. That's very good. I like the way you're thinking, Kevin. Yeah. And again, if you don't know what Kevin's saying, so the 2020 census was problematic because it turns out illegals were counted in that census. And so that artificially bolstered the numbers for blue states and thereby disaffected red states. If after we can clear up, we can make sure illegals are not counted, and with all the deportations that are going on as well, with the massive increase in population in red states, the estimates are that anywhere from 12 to 14 electoral votes will and congressional seats will shift from blue states to red states. So like, you know, Texas is going to pick up 4 and Florida 4 and Idaho 1 and, you know, Tennessee another. I forget all the different states. And California is going to lose the comparable 3 or 4, and New York's going to lose, and Illinois is going to lose, and I think even Pennsylvania loses 1. So if we could do that, then JD or Marco, I know a lot of people are saying Marco right now. I still think it's overwhelmingly favored for JD, but JD would win. JD could win 270 without having to win a single blue wall state, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. And so that's huge if they, obviously, because that's been the thorn in the side of Republicans. They could not win. They couldn't figure out how to win those three states. Bush couldn't figure out how to win them. Bush Jr. Certainly Dole couldn't, and McCain or, you know, Romney, it's just been a thorn in their side. And if I recall, George W. was able to pull it off because he won Nevada. He was the last Republican before Trump in 2024 to win Nevada. Nevada went, and I think he also won New Mexico as well, but Nevada and New Mexico had since gone blue, but now they're going red, including New Mexico. So as a matter of fact, one of the arguments, Kevin, you probably saw this, is if you had proof of citizenship before voting, Trump would have won New Mexico. So yeah, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. It's moving in that direction. There's nothing you could do. I'm with you. I just rather have it sooner than later, so there's less damage done in the interim. Ruby, thank you for all you do. Appreciate your take on things. Thank you, Ruby. Very, very kind of you. Thank you. Rock dog, Dr. Steve. While you were in Hungary, I finished writing my first novel. One thing I realized the last 2 weeks is that the pendulum is finally swinging back to the right after 110 years of leftism. Going back to Wilson and the income tax, how long do you think it'll take to finish the swing? Term limits and shrinking the size of the federal government? Oh, that's a good question. I wouldn't know. I mean, so for me, I'm happy that it's moving in that direction, right? That the channel's emphasis is the trends, and then keeping you focused on those trends, regardless of what happens in election here or there. And then we're able to see the trends manifest themselves in terms of their fruit in cool, awesome elections. And I think if we win, and we should in 2028, that's probably going to be it. I don't see the Democrats recovering. I don't. Not after, like we talked earlier, with reapportionment, red states just continuing to grow, blue states just continuing to implode. There's going to be no future for them. And they'll be boxed out permanently with a guaranteed floor for Republicans in Congress, and probably at about 230, 240 seats. Some have argued I'm being too low on that. Some are saying by the time we hit 2030, reapportionment, all that's probably going to be like 250 seats. It's just not, it's not going to be anything Democrats can do. They could just screw up at local levels, but that's it. And then you have to wonder if they're even going to be a viable party and if that's going to require another opposition party, maybe more of a Rhino party versus MAGA party. So it's that's what you're seeing in countries like Hungary, Israel, where the left has just basically died. And so it's a competition among different flavors of right-wing parties, which is about as close to the New Jerusalem, as far as I'm concerned, that we can get to. This side of the return. Dr. Steve Bob, are you aware that Virginia Supreme Court just struck down gerrymandered map? Yep, just got that today, or while I was doing the live stream. Awesome, isn't it, Bob? So cool. And that's it. All right, gang. I want you. Oh, wait, no. I see that. Do you think, T-Man, do you think there should be charges against the left-wing rioters who stormed the government building in Tennessee? Will there be any charges? I do not know Tennessee's politics enough to answer that last question. The first question, absolutely. That's disgusting. It's beyond disgusting. And again, it just shows you it's the left's antics. Leftism is a religion. So what you're seeing there is their liturgies of emancipation and liturgies of, you know, it's almost like that. What's the Shiite custom where they smack themselves and hit themselves in punishment for their sins? It goes back to an event in Shiite sacred history, but it just seems to me it's like they're cutting themselves like the Baal worshipers and the Baal priests. This is what they do, and it's insane. And they should definitely be arrested and charged, I think, for at the very least desecrating our hall of the Republic there. Zookies, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear their lamentations of their way. Zookies is going 100% MAGA. Yeah. I mean, you know, again, I know I talk to a lot of Republicans who are very into principle, libertarians and so forth, you know, and they have their ideology and it's all very clean. And we're allowed to do this, but we're not allowed to do that. And I think they get a little shocked given, you know, the nuances of my analysis. I think they get a little shocked when I come out and say, well, you know, the purpose of politics is power, right? And that's it. That's politics. Politics is power. It's like building, you know, you're building something, and the dynamics of building mean nothing if you don't know how to build. You can design a beautiful house, but if you can't implement it in the physics of actual building, then you'll never see that house reach fruition. The actual construction dynamics is power in politics. If you don't have power and you don't know how to use it, you will never, ever, ever implement your principles or your ideas. So this whole beautiful loser nonsense, as Sam Francis used to refer to it as, this whole beautiful loser that, well, at least we have our principles, it's like listening to someone who can't build say, well, but at least I have great ideas. Who cares? Your ideas and your principles mean nothing. They may mean something in your own little head and in a few of the heads that you hang out with, but they mean nothing in the realm of politics. Nothing. The only way great principles get implemented is through power. It's the only way. It's through the use of leverage and power. Period. And if you have an opposition party, yes, the best thing in life, if you're in politics, is to hear the moaning and groaning and the whining and complaining of the opposition party. And I think, oh, there we go, Aug 10th. More and more, I see the incident in Butler's divine intervention. I think about all that wouldn't be happening if things turned out differently. The country literally dodged a bullet. God bless and happy Friday. Amen, Aug 10th. Amen to that. Amen in every single way. It was divine intervention, and there's no way around it. It was angelic. And thank God, you know, God spared us. I do think we probably would have ended up in a hot civil war at this point. I think the MAGA faithful across the country, tens of millions, would have picked up arms and said, enough, we're done. We're not living under this anymore. And thank God we didn't have to. I prefer ballots over bullets every single time. And we got the ballots. The bullet missed, and so we got the ballots, and now we're seeing the vision of MAGA realized right in front of us. Adam, no matter what happens, vote Republican down ballot, ladies and gentlemen. Could not possibly agree with you more, Adam. That's exactly what I do. Even in my blue state, even though I know it's irrelevant, I still do it. Texas, what do you think opposition will look like in coming years? The Democrats somehow recover and reconstitute themselves? As a more sensible reborn party, or does the GOP eventually split into a moderate and conservative? That's my take. I mean, that's what my take is that there's going to be a hybrid of, and ironically, it's going to be populist. It's going to be very populist, because that's what we're seeing in these other countries that have lost the left. It's going to be sort of an establishment right that's very strong, like Fidesz, Viktor Orban's Fidesz, or Likud in Israel. And then there are going to be these sort of third-party oppositions that coalition together. So already you're seeing, like, Tucker trying to create a coalition with the populist left. The biggest defenders right now of Tucker Carlson are like Cenk Uygur of the Young Turks, and Anna Kasparian, and so leftists are the ones who are defending Tucker right now. You look at what MTG is doing with The View and getting on CNN. So they're still rightists in their orientation, but they're anti-establishment. So when you're anti-establishment, again, the populist structure is not left versus right. It's people versus the political class. And so it's a vertical divide as opposed to a horizontal divide. If the divide is vertical, then you can get Tom Massey and what's that guy, Ro Khan, hanging out together. It's not a problem. It is a problem if you're trying to get things done in Washington, D.C., and you're a thorn in the side of getting the MAGA agenda done, thinking the MAGA agenda comes down to Epstein, I mean, which is, it's beyond preposterous. Epstein was not on the ballot. It's beyond preposterous. I get it. I understand why people are so concerned about it, but that's not the SAVE Act. That's not closing the border. That's not mass deportations. That's not keeping male athletes out of women's locker room, biologically male athletes out of women's locker room sports, and on and on. That's not reconstituting the world order around the United States as the chief civilizational force for the rest of the century. I mean, all those other things, Epstein and all this nonsense, pales by comparison. So regardless, I think it's going to be sort of a left-right alliance, populist alliance. It's going to be fringe, and it's always going to have a very hard time governing because they know what they're against. They know what they oppose, but they don't necessarily know what they're for or how to implement it. So I see an establishment Likud, like, you know, Fidesz, like, or even like in Japan, what's known as their liberal party, which is very conservative, with Sanae Takaichi at the head of it now, or the Bharatiya Janata Party, and with Narendra Modi in India, or the United Russia Party of Putin or so forth. It's going to be a very strong, big right-wing party. And then you're going to have sort of a combo of left and right populist, fringe left-right populists that create their own coalition that have hard time overcoming the institutional advantages of this right party, establishment party, but that nevertheless sort of keep it honest, as it were. So, and there you go, gang. There you go. Have a wonderful weekend. If anything breaks, I will definitely be your back porch professor and give you all the latest of what I see with these breaking news and analysis, which you're not going to get anywhere else. But other than that, I will see you on Monday. Have a lovely and beautiful weekend. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Turley Talks podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and share this episode with your friends. Help us defeat the fake news media and rank as the number one news and commentary podcast all over the world. Come back again tomorrow for another episode celebrating the rise of a new conservative age.